brings diehard sports fans together as one big family through tailgate and road trips. Now the guys from Green Legion are bringing the tailgate to the airwaves. Quimby, Hollis Tank Thomas, Michael Diaz, and Chris Sack always keep the party going. So crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
All right, everybody, Green Legion Radio. Fox Sports, The Gambler, 102.5 FM, Philadelphia, 104.1 FM, Trenton, WDAS AM, throughout the rest of the Delaware Valley. My name is Quimby, and we are not ready for this show. I can tell you that right now. Jesus. I am alongside Hollis Tank Thomas. What's up, brother?
Yeah, chilling back in the cold United States.
Yeah, chilling is definitely the word. Michael, shut up. Diaz, how are you, sir?
Good to see you in studio, finally.
We're all back, finally. And we all remember have to remember how to use these microphones.
That's right.
No, you're not remembering.
Oh,
there you are.
I'm so used to sitting back.
I know. I could keep yelling at you with the other microphones. Chris Sackmaster, Sack Attack / Reggie. Woo-ha-ha.
Woo!
Yes, we could do it in
studio.
That
was good. That was good.
When we're all in different places, it's a different story. Kyle / Nunnemaker / The Gobbler. My man. We got Sam holed up in a room under the stairs, chained down, because we have a special guest in studio.
That's pretty typical, though, being chained down for a woman in your apartment. So,
oh, wow.
Gotta report you to HR.
Hey-o!
Here we go.
Hold on. Let's see who gets fired first today. It won't take long. Don't worry. And, I can't play that one. I'll get in trouble.
Because the good news is you're fired.
Yeah, thank you.
Because the good news is you're fired.
All right.
Beat you to it, Diaz.
Everybody, host of your Philadelphia Eagles Insider Podcast joining us today to talk a little bit about draft, and we're going to talk about the Eagles' schedule, upcoming schedule this year. We didn't talk about that.
We haven't talked about anything the whole offseason. We're going to skip Carson Wentz trade. We're going to skip Doug Peterson.
We've been talking about that. Well, you just haven't been around.
Would you like to
come down to Costa Rica.
I know.
Would you like to discuss that?
But sure. Anyway, everybody, Mr. Dave Spadaro joining us in studio.
I'm so glad to be here, guys. Thank you. And congratulations on your Crossing Broad March Media Madness.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
You guys are rocking.
No jealousy on your part at all.
I didn't really know about it.
When did you get eliminated?
I don't even
know. He got eliminated in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Wow. You see where they're taking it, right, Dave?
Yeah, it's
they
okay.
Had you.
I know that when the Eagles lose, nobody likes me.
But you kind of fell for that one.
I get it.
Hook, line, and sinker.
I get it. That's the way it works.
But, yeah, we're in the Final Four going up against
Adam Kaplan.
Adam Kaplan. That's going to be a tough one.
Nice.
But, yeah, you think we got it, Diaz?
He will fall. Ike Reese, Derek Gunn, Sal Powell. If we took all of them down. Yeah.
We took down some big names.
We took down
Ike Reese. We took down Sal Palantonio. We took down Derek Gunn. We took down Jimmy Kempsky. And you are
people for the people.
Seriously, right. I guess, man.
Thank you to our legionnaires.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. You so much, you guys. I don't even know if I'm not paying attention as to seeing what's going on here in the chat room. Anybody. So we're going to talk draft in a little bit. We're also going to talk the Eagles schedule. We got a little bit to harp on the Flyers because of that sinking ship. Might talk a couple minutes on the NBA. Diaz just got real excited over there.
Been waiting for this one for a while,
right?
Yeah.
But let's just get this party started, shall you? Happy to be back. Happy to see all you guys in the studio. This has been 3 months since we've been in studio together, and couldn't be happier. Love going down there, but by the time it's over. Ready to come home.
Oh, that's so nice of you. 3 months in, away from Philadelphia, away from cold weather.
Out of the COVID stone age that you guys were stuck in.
Those 6 weeks I spent down there, they were hell on wheels.
Yeah, I'm
waking
sure.
up every day by the ocean, sitting there looking at the beach with all the women, looking really nice. Yeah. Man,
I just thought it was great on last week's show. And, you know, Quimby's like, "And let's get ready for another edition of Kick Ass or Jack." and the power just cuts out, and we're all just sitting there like, "What the hell's going on?"
And let's be honest, we may have had one of the hottest women I've ever seen on the show.
The paddleboarder?
Oh God, yes. Valeria is incredible.
I mean, everybody was so cool excited last week with the 10 minutes that we gave her talking about Olympic paddleboarding. I mean, the message boards
was
going
lighting up.
They were going off. I can't believe it. Olympic paddleboarding? No way.
Did she have an opinion on who the Eagles should draft?
No, but she had an opinion on Megan Rapinoe, and it was great. telling her to shut the F up, which was great. But
I'm surprised that Weatherman Quimby, you know, you were talking for 10 minutes about how you needed this rain. This is great rain. We need rain. Costa Rica needs rain. We need rain. And then it shut down the whole show.
Yeah, we didn't need rain that much.
Yeah, it rained. The weird thing was
I retract previous statements.
The weird thing is when the show shut down, he was actually walking around in the rain like he had never seen it before. I was like, what the hell is wrong with this kid?
And you don't see it for 3 months. And I'm not going into it. But anyway, let's get into this, everybody. You guys, welcome to another edition of Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler. Make sure you rate, review, download, and subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. Or the easiest thing to do is just download the iHeartRadio app, where you can now listen to all four shows. Green Legion Radio, Ice to Shorts, Winter Sports with Zach and Diaz, Get Tagged Happy Hour with Tank and Quimby, and, of course, our newest and best show out there, Baseball Brunch, Bud Light's Baseball Brunch, with Greg Murphy and Chris Sack down at the ballpark every Sunday from 11 to 12 p.m. It's been a great show, I hear. It's been getting better and better and more well-attended each week. We're only in the third week, so that's fantastic. We also may have another sponsor, thanks to Sam, sitting in the other room. Woo-hoo!
Good job, Super Sam.
Here we go, Sam.
We're not going to say it just yet, but it might have something to do with Cherry Hill and a Tri and a Plex. That's all I know. But anyway, so Green Legion Radio is brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, stateside vodka and bourbon. That's premium vodka and bourbon distilled right here in Philadelphia. MCS Construction Services, the largest residential contractor in the Philadelphia area, but they also do commercial. Check out custom cabinetry, free estimates, licensed and bonded. Everything is done with safety in mind. Reach out to them on their website if I knew what the hell it was. Damn. I'll get that to you in a minute. The Next Sip. We have a ton of them to give out now. We have boxes and boxes and boxes of Next Sips to give out during baseball brunch every Sunday.
Fantastic.
Guess who gets to carry them?
Kyle. Hey,
Kyle. You want to show Diaz how to put one on right now?
He's so strong, Kyle.
I'd rather see you put your hands around Diaz's neck.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to put. We've been waiting for the choke out for a month and a half.
Listen, he's not going to choke me out on the first day back of Athlete Row.
I don't know about that.
I don't care, bro. I'll tell you what.
All the Cavanaugh's restaurants, Cavanaugh's River Deck, reopening soon. Cavanaugh's Head House on South Street, Cavanaugh's Rittenhouse on Sansom Street between 18th and 19th, Cavanaugh's University City at 39th and Sansom. All the beautiful ladies over at Delilah's, working their way through med school and law school. Make sure you go down there and take care of them. All City Fitness, Philadelphia locations. If you're not in the city, make sure across the bridge you are checking out. Echelon Health and Fitness, Dave and Susie, congratulations again on your 5-year anniversary. Bucks County Baseball Company. The website is bigger than the showroom. BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. And coming to you soon, the King of Prussia Diner. All right. That means don't come in studio, man. What are you doing? I'm kidding. Champ can come in. You can sit your ass out there. I'm kidding. You brought all the food. Everybody, welcome Pops and Champ to the studio. What's happening, baby?
My old nemesis, Champ.
Yeah, Champ is the man.
Champ, you're getting big, dude. How much have you grown since we've seen you last? About a foot.
About a foot.
I don't know about that Cardinals jersey you're wearing, but that's okay.
I need to shut up Diaz for old time's sake, Champ.
You have to wait till it's appropriate. That's what made it so great.
All right. Here we go. Bad radio, but we're back into it. Hollis.
Yes.
What happened this week in sports history and what happened this week in Hollis history?
Well, today is April the 17th, 2021. It's the 107th day of the year. There's 258 of these puppies remaining. We're going to start right off with events. I put this event in here especially for one of our hosts. On April the 17th, 1976, it was dubbed National League's greatest comeback. Do you know what I'm speaking of?
Gosh, is that the one that Pittsburgh?
No.
It had to be.
The greatest comeback. It was 12-1. They were losing 12-1.
Yeah.
Versus the Cubs at Wrigley Field.
Is that like the Mike Schmidt had three homers?
Four in a row.
Four
consecutive home runs in a row. Ten innings?
You're
18 to 16?
You're fired.
Sure. Was I alive in 1976?
No, you weren't, but I figured you would probably know about it. In 1987, our own Dr. J becomes the third NBA player to have 30,000 points, to score 30,000 points in the NBA and ABA. And then in 1999, the NFL draft came up. The first draft pick was Tim Couch out of the University of Kentucky. And the second draft pick was who?
Number five will always love you.
Yeah. And then I got a couple of quick birthdays here. Today, 1954 is Roddy Roddy Piper's birthday. It's also, 1961 is Boomer Esiason's. 1970, Red Man. Then, also 1937, Daffy Duck. And then the last one, certainly not least, but 1973, Theo Ratliff.
Despicable. Theo Ratliff.
Theo Ratliff. I didn't really have a story for today. I was just, I was glad we had Dave Spadaro in so we could talk about, I put the draft pick in there because we were going to be talking, speaking about the draft and all the booze that Donovan got on that draft day.
I know.
I was going to try to preface this the way I was doing. I was actually doing an appearance. And I was on, it was at David Buster's. We're chilling at David Buster's. Yeah, so I pick up, pick came up. I'm signing the autographs. So it's like with the second pick, everybody's like, Ricky Williams, Donovan McNabb out of Syracuse. Boo! I was like, oh God, it's not good at all. And so at the appearance, I still had to hold my composure. But Dave, what did you think when that totally went down?
I mean, you know, I was really disappointed in the fans. I mean, they took the lead of WIP, and it was all about Ricky Williams.
Excuse me.
And,
yeah, we don't mention that.
No. Yeah. Well, whatever. And it was for a kid who, I mean, Hollis, I know you didn't get drafted, and that was the NFL's mistake. But the guy was 22 years old, and that's the greatest moment in a young man's life. And for him to go through that, I think actually it really adversely affected Donovan the rest of his career.
His entire career.
And to this day, like, it's just, he's just too sensitive. I get it. People say that. But imagine that big moment you have, and you're getting booed. Yeah. By fans who are just completely wrong.
Completely wrong.
And every single Eagles fan right now would say, man, I would love to have Donovan McNabb back right now.
And it was the funny thing is when you think about it, I felt like it jaded him for his entire career.
And to
we
this
just
day,
said that. Yeah, you didn't raise your hand.
Well, no, but when I say jaded, it's like,
So he's going to learn real quick because now I can do it again. Go ahead. Finish.
Well, no, I was saying the way it jaded him was like he started listening to everything everybody was saying.
Well, you also have to get prepped for this.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Yeah,
hold on. We're not chirping here today because we've been talking forever, at least the last month and a half, that the Eagles have been searching for their franchise quarterback since Donovan McNabb. So we agree. But at the same time, you have to be prepared. Everybody knew we were going to draft him. It was coming. And somebody there has to say, Donovan, tune it out.
He's 22 years old.
Don't care. He's an athlete.
Okay.
He's been not. He's,
so,
he's
so,
been.
So the
he's
fans. A lot, he's the fans a lot, don't have any responsibility for it, huh?
No, I disagree. I think all 30 of those jackasses should have been thrown out. All right. Every single one of them, including the garbage man. But besides that, somebody's got to tell this guy, look, just tune it out. He played in Syracuse, big stadium, lots of fans.
He did tune it out, but I think it stays with you.
I agree. Right. I think that there's problems on every end, and all of it started there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, the one thing that is easier said than done, and it's like we could say how we would do it and how we would handle things, and as you learn that once you get older, because I was saying the same thing. I was like, dude, you about to get paid. I was like, all you got to do is go out there and kick ass, and it's easy for me to say that because I'm a lonely nose guard, and nobody's looking. Nobody's cutting for me. It's like, so I can do what I want. Didn't he? You
know. Yeah. I mean, listen, we can't sit there and look at it and go, well, he got booed and he didn't use that as a chip on his shoulder for the rest of his career. I mean, he still talks about it to this day. It still bothers him, sure. Right. But also at the same time, we got to look at it. It's kind of like Tom Brady getting drafted in the sixth round, right? I mean, he used that as a chip on his shoulder for all the success that he had. McNabb did the same thing. He didn't win the ultimate prize like Brady wound up eventually doing, but at least he used that to his advantage. Well, hey, you know, you guys want to doubt me. I didn't get I'm not the guy that you guys wanted, but I'm going to prove you wrong. And actually, he did for the most of his career here in Philadelphia.
Still should not have gone out the night before the Super Bowl until 4 in the morning.
Thank you.
He didn't go out to this. Okay. Yeah, he did.
Oh my God! Listen to this. The public voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, and the guy that was in the hotel room.
Trust me. I know. I know from three or four different ways.
Did he throw up in the Super Bowl game?
Yep.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that? I've had so many conversations, including one with the director of the Fox broadcast.
Right.
With 25 cameras.
Okay.
They couldn't. They
did not have one sampling of evidence.
Do they have a seat on the bench? Looking at him as he was throwing up sweet chunks. He threw up every time we played in Florida, dude. Go look at every game we played in Florida.
I knew he did. Jacksonville.
Did he? Tampa in that game. We lost in 63.
Jacksonville, Tampa, and Miami. Yeah. And a Super Bowl.
So. I guess alcohol and heat don't work well for him.
You
huh?
think?
Not sure why he's living in Arizona, baby. All right, let's move on here because we have sorry a lot about that. To get to today. All right, topics for tonight. We got the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room we're going to talk about in just a second has something to do with Deshaun Watson and Dave Spadaro, believe it or not.
That's interesting.
Did you give him a massage?
Not with Deshaun Watson.
Man, our first show back, Dave agreed to come in here. You've got a lot of answering to do. There's a lot of Eagles topics.
No, hold on a second. And of course, Sack already messed it up by asking if he got a massage. But
awkward.
We're going to talk about Eric Wilson and your interview with him. Dave, we'd love to get your take on that.
I love it all.
We're going to talk about the draft. We're going to talk about a little mini strike, helmet rule, LeSean McCoy making an ass out of himself again.
Oh, God.
Injuries throughout the NBA, the Sixers' big win versus the Nets, the LOL Mets versus the LOL Phillies.
Correct.
Center field problems, Flyers throwing in the town, Eagles schedule, the easiest coming up. And, of course, we got a nice little kick-ass or jackass segment brought to you by Chris Sack and baseball Bud Light Baseball Brunch. But elephant in the room. All right. Dave?
Yeah.
One of these days we're going to get you to spill some sort of hot information.
Nope.
Eagles keep getting...
Many have tried.
Eagles keep getting mentioned in the same breath as Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Relative to you. You're the closest person that would know anything about it. Is there any noise to that? I think
that if a team finds out that a quarterback could be eligible to be traded, could be on the market, you look into it. Absolutely.
Okay. So they're looking into him. Good.
You do your homework on every single player in the league.
Okay.
Will Deshaun Watson be a Philadelphia Eagle this year? No.
Okay. Interesting. So the noise to that is?
Wait till next year. They got a ton of picks. See how it hurts.
Got a ton of picks.
What about Russell Wilson?
No, the Seahawks aren't going to trade him. I think the Eagles are going to go into the season. I think they will draft a quarterback at some point. I think that Jalen Hurts will be the quarterback. I think number two will be Joe Flacco. And then we'll see how Jalen Hurts plays.
Go ahead, Diaz.
Dave, I got a question. Yeah. Uh-oh. There are no quarterbacks more polar opposite of each other than Jalen Hurts and Joe Flacco. Yeah. What the hell are they doing down there?
So who would you have liked him to
I don't add? Know. Tyrod Taylor, I don't know. Someone like that. Someone where you
got $12.5 million.
Hey, chirping.
Certainly their skill set is totally different. And, you're going to have to be really versatile in your offensive scheme. But at the point where the amount of cap room the Eagles had, the timing, there was really nobody else available. So you get a quarterback who's really experienced, who's won a Super Bowl, who's been a Super Bowl MVP. You draft a quarterback as well at some point, and away we go.
To be fair, I really don't think it's that big of an issue, because if there's one thing Sirianni has proven as the offensive coordinator in Indianapolis, he can do it with any
He did it with a great offensive line in Indianapolis.
Correct, and he ran the football. So, I mean, but he went from Andrew Luck to Jacoby Brissett to Philip Rivers. So, like, I don't think the offensive scheme is something like where it's like with Doug, where you need a certain style of quarterback and you make minor adjustments. He'll adjust the scheme to his quarterback. That's the strength that I see in the hire for Sirianni.
Okay.
We're going to get through all kinds of these questions when we start talking about draft. My immediate question following what Zach just said regarding doing it with a great offensive line, or you saying, Dave, doing it with a great offensive line. Speaking of offensive line, where do you think we stand here? And a big question on everybody's mind is reports coming out that Andre Dillard beefed up, had a really hard offseason workout, I guess, to help.
Talking about last year's reports?
Get stronger.
Okay, so not this year.
I haven't seen him.
All right. No, it was this year, right?
The reports were the same last year.
Okay.
All right. I think Jordan Mailata established himself as the...
Boom, shakalaka.
Guy, the one that he's, who's going to have to be displaced at left tackle.
Okay. And so he is starting. He is slotted as the starting left tackle.
No, there's going to be a preseason of three games, and we'll see who the best man is.
Right now, you believe him to be the front runner.
I've seen Jordan play a lot more than I've seen Andre. And the fact that there's this off season where the young players may or may not be in, it hurts Andre Dillard's of the world so much when they can't come in and get in on the field and get time on the side with coaches and really work on their craft. It hurts them so much. So I don't know what the Eagles are going to do with that. Every team has been voting and they don't want to come in and work early at the complexes. Wow. So. And I know why, because veterans don't want to lose their jobs.
No, I said, wow.
Yeah. So I it kills players like Andre Dillard.
Well, let's 2 minutes before we start. Do you think there are any other moves made at offensive line this year? Meaning,
no,
are they comfortable with Brandon Brooks coming back from injury?
The Eagles have no cap room. Okay. What they've done in free agency is they've signed five players to 1 year contracts.
Right.
Which I think they've done a pretty good job. They've gotten a couple players who can help them. They will be active moving, wheeling, and dealing around the draft, trying to get as many picks as they can. Will they draft an offensive lineman? Perhaps. They think that by Herbig playing a lot last year, Driscoll playing a lot last year.
Both had pretty decent years for rookies.
There's some depth there. Unless somebody blows them away for an offer, you'll have Brandon Brooks come back healthy, hopefully. Lane Johnson come back, hopefully. Kelsey's going to play another. You have a chance to have a really good offensive line.
What do you think about Brandon Brooks coming off of two Achilles tears?
I think he's been banged up for 2.5 years. I think it's a really tough spot.
It's a coin flip at this point.
Yeah,
but you kind of feel comfortable with Herbig or Driscoll fitting in if
not at the level. They're not Pro Bowl players.
Not Brandon Brooks.
I think if Brandon Brooks can come back healthy, then the Eagles have a chance to have a really good offensive line.
Okay,
really good.
So who's playing left guard?
Sai Mello.
He is.
Yeah.
You were comfortable Kelsey? With that from last
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
And how's Lane's ankle? Cleaned up?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I just told Tech to stop laughing.
Yes. They, you know, they
keep in mind, we have less than a minute.
Okay. I'll say I preserve this for the other side.
You'll preserve this?
Yeah, I'll preserve it.
For you me. Mean you'll reserve it?
Yeah, preserve it.
Preserve it.
I'm going to preserve it.
It works. Preserve works.
Really?
Yeah.
We're not talking about grape jelly.
I'm going to save it.
Okay.
I'm going to save it. Preserve it. Preserve it.
All right. Preserve it. All right.
I'm going to save this for the other side of the rock here. I got a bone to pick with you about that ordeal that you just mentioned.
Yeah, Isaac Sayamalo is an ordeal.
Oh, God.
All right, everybody. Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton, WDASAF through the rest of the Delaware Valley, brought to you by Bud Light. Back right after this. 4.1 Trent, WDASAM, rest of the Delaware Valley. We are back in studio with our good friends Hollis Tang Thomas, Michael Shut Up Diaz, Chris Sackmaster, Slash, and of course, host of your Philadelphia Eagles Insider podcast, Mr. Dave Spadaro. That's always how you wanted me to.
Among other things.
What else do you do?
A lot.
What apparently, I do. You're about to
every
defend.
Appearance, every host, all these shows, all these appearances. It's a very job. It's a job that requires a lot of skills, multi-talented skills.
MC Spuds?
MC Spuds. I do that.
Apparently, from Andrew Hurst on our message board here, he's saying something about an OnlyFans page for you, Dave.
What's that?
What's that?
Awkward.
Wait.
Oh, man.
All right. So I believe before we went to break, Dave and Hollis were talking about
Isaac Sayamalo.
Oh, yeah. Isaac Sayamalo.
Who played 9 games, had a knee injury all year, was battling an injury all year. Go ahead, Hollis. Tell me how much he sucked.
Tanks preserves right here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said 9 games. You said it already. He sucked.
No.
He was stinking up the joint the year before.
Yeah, I disagree.
I know. Which kid? Did you watch film?
Yeah.
You sure?
I watched with Stout.
Would you watch Stout? Who? You watched with Stout, Mile?
Yeah, with Jeff Stoutland.
The Stoutland?
Yeah. Is he a Pro Bowl player? No. Is he a good left guard when he's healthy? Yes.
So when apparently he wasn't healthy, huh?
He played 9 games last year.
He was getting his ass kicked.
Was that him or was that the left tackle who'd never played in his life?
That was him.
Okay.
So the guy over him, the left tackle.
Was that the quarterback holding the ball?
Is it against the guy over him? Was it the guy we have that was?
How
was
Kelsey? We got a massive thumb war going on here.
How did Kelsey play last year?
Kelsey played decently.
Decent.
Yeah, decent. Yeah.
I thought Kelsey played amazing.
I felt like he played decent.
When you have 13 different starting combinations on your offensive line, you expect them to play well?
You're a professional. Do your job.
Okay. All
right. Is the ticket price going to go down?
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay.
I think the first Dave versus Tank battle of the year of 2021.
We were 4-11-1 last year. Yeah. I have no defense on anything.
Oh, no,
you take your lumps.
I'm
fine with that.
And Dave was always good about that. But I just had a problem with them steadily pumping up Sayamalu like he was like an all pro. He was getting
Matt Pryor.
Yeah, Matt Pryor. Well, yeah.
Nobody's ever said that he was an all pro.
Okay, good.
Nobody's ever said he's an all pro.
And then they prematurely
signed him. See any of these guys, Driscoll or Herbert?
They like Driscoll a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think you see one of these guys maybe taking Isaac's role?
I think there'll be competition for all of them. But
all right. I don't.
I think the expect again. You know, there's going to be actually a preseason this year, so we'll have a little bit more sense and there'll be a little bit more cohesion. It's hard to have an offensive line come together when you lose your right guard before the season begins, you lose your right tackle before the season begins, you lose your left tackle before the season begins. Your right. left tackle is eventually ends up Jason Peters, the great Jason Peters experiment at left tackle was a bust. Moving him to right guard was a bust. Goes back to left tackle. Obviously was way past his prime.
Did he sign somewhere? He did, didn't he?
I don't think he did.
No, he didn't. I thought somebody gave him a one-year deal.
No.
Who the hell would do that outside?
All right, anyway, let's talk some better radio right now.
Yeah.
Dave, you were had an interview with linebacker Eric Wilson on a show today, yesterday, or what was it?
It's in our podcast that actually dropped today.
Dropped
Eagles
today.
Insider podcast.
Excellent. So Eric Wilson, Minnesota, undrafted free agent 2017, played a few games up until last year where he had what some might consider a breakout year, 122 total.
Tackles
66 solo, I believe, is the number. We did our research on him. Went to
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati and Northwestern.
Started at Northwestern.
And finished at Cincinnati. Our question for you, and probably more so than what do you think he's going to do? I'm wondering why Minnesota has not had a spectacular defense over the last few years. And here's a guy that they homegrew. How did he set Tank? We'll get there in a minute. All right. No, I get it. But how did he slip out of the cracks?
You'd have to ask the Vikings why they didn't sign him. He had a good year last year. They have good linebackers with Anthony Barr, with Kendricks. Maybe they didn't want to invest. I think that
don't look at me like I did something wrong and you're going, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm right.
I think Wilson's one of those players, at least I hope, that
everybody Tank's over here looking at me, giving me looks through my camera.
Tank, you're right though. I'm with you.
But no, what I was gonna tell you.
I don't
was,
know what he's saying.
He and I had this long conversation and a lot of it has to do with defensive coordinator who he has experience with. Who is now here with the Philadelphia Eagles and on a one-year deal, which I thought was really crazy for a guy who had a breakout year, mm-hmm. that we'd sign a one-year deal, especially here,
Can I answer the question? I think what happened is he fired his agent, and he was looking for a big deal. And in this, when the salary cap drops 8%, there are going to be some players, and I think Anthony Harris is also in this category, that just slipped through the cracks. And look, Eric Wilson is not going to wow you with the way he looks in a uniform, but he's really smart. This is what Diaz is very concerned about.
He's going to
fit into the defense. That he's going to be a three down linebacker, and this team obviously needs linebackers who can make plays. And we'll see how he fits in after the season. But is he better than what the Eagles have had in the past? Your man crush. Who moved on to San Francisco?
Hey. Don't worry.
Sensitive subject.
At some point in time, I get to see him again because we're playing the 49ers right. at home, baby.
And look, it's really unfortunate the way the defense was bad last year, too. But no, I think Eric Wilson's a solid player. Is he going to be a game-changing player? I have no idea.
How did he get out of Minnesota? They just didn't want to allocate cap room to him. So they feel like there's somebody else, the next player is going to be able to step in and be productive.
Okay. I was going to tell you that the Minnesota Vikings have had a good defense over the past few years.
Volume up.
Okay, my bad. They have had a good defense over the past few years, and that's why he was expendable, because he was behind Barr and Kendricks.
Why didn't you tell me that last week?
I was telling you that.
We were sitting there drunk on the patio down in Costa Rica.
Say that one more time.
While we were sitting there drunk.
Okay, there you go. So, and I didn't think about it until afterwards, but that's when I told you. Remember when I said he seized the second? He was an undrafted free agent. He went around a little bit, and he was able to garner some playing time because somebody got hurt. When somebody got hurt, that's when he was looking to cash in.
This with the linebacker too. I know you talk with Wilson. They signed him, and you mentioned some of the other guys they got on the roster. Also with the offensive line, and I know you're not going to give us any draft secrets or guys that are targeting, but is it fair to expect that everyone in this room wants both of those positions addressed in the first three rounds?
What, linebacker and offensive line?
Yeah.
Really? You guys want offensive line addressed in the first three rounds?
We weren't quite ready for that yet, but I appreciate
the first three rounds.
No, that didn't.
Really?
Not me.
Yeah. Hold on.
That's what we talked about last week.
No, it is what we talked about. All right. So, Dave, moving in, how much time do we have in this?
Two hours.
Oh, yeah.
About 6 minutes.
Okay. So, altogether, I believe we can agree that our concerns for draft position-wise more so were offensive line first, secondary cornerback specific second,
okay,
and then linebacker third. Uh-huh. And if you followed what the Eagles have trended over the years as far as where they're going to pick up these positions, it would almost seem like this is an appropriate formula. So I believe we were almost all in agreement, right?
Right.
When we were talking about that, you were a little off.
I was corner, wide receiver, edge rush.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right. What I want.
But the other three of us were offensive lineman, cornerback,
okay,
linebacker. And considering we have four picks in the top 84 right now, without trading any away, where do you see the Eagles going? First of all, is Howie ever going to step out of his own box? That's the one.
That's his problem. Okay, he steps out of the box.
No. He doesn't consider the linebacker position as critical as others. He has put that on the back burner. We all know it. It's not a question mark. All right, so does he step out of his box and address this position? If Micah Parsons is there at 12, which he won't be, because if he slips past Dallas and slips past the Giants, that would be, if he slips past Denver at 9, I would be shocked.
So here's actually honestly what I say. Name one position on this team that you wouldn't feel the need to address.
Zero.
Name one position on this team
that you wouldn't.
Oh, you need all of them.
All right. Okay. Well, can I rephrase that question to you? Can we look at the overall success of this team and when they've had their most success and speak about the positions of weakness that we are glaring in right now?
What would you consider glaring?
Linebacker. There's a quarterback on the offense. No. Hold on. There's a quarterback on the offense and there's a quarterback on defense. All right. And I would say Jordan Hicks, Nigel Bradham, when we won the Super Bowl, it's a nice little pairing back.
Jordan there. Hicks didn't play in the Super Bowl.
I know. Right? He missed half the season. But yeah. Nigel Bradham stepped up into that middle linebacker
and the
role.
And he played with leads every single game that year.
It doesn't matter right now.
They run the ball.
If you're going to tell me my other man crush, Alex Singletary.
Singletary.
What a Singletary. Flow. Is at middle linebacker.
He's not a middle linebacker.
Well, that's what he was playing this year.
Yeah, he'll play weak side.
Okay, I believe. Hold on. Does anybody else in the room other than Dave think we need a stud middle linebacker? Finally,
I would love to have a stud. I do. I would love to have a stud middle linebacker.
Well, raise your hand.
I'm not sure that I would.
I'm not sure. Chris, are you raising your hand with the rest of us?
Honestly, not with the first pick.
Honestly, for me, am I taking the first pick a guy who didn't play football last year? I believe, and I could be wrong. We'll see if it turns out. But when you don't play football for a full year, you lose your edge. You lose your physicality and you lose your edge. Okay. So I'm not taking the, I am not using a 12th pick on a guy who didn't play last year.
I drafted Sidney. And he was okay with that.
Yeah.
He was okay with Sidney.
And he didn't play for a year. The idea was to bring in what?
But you drafted him in the second
and
round.
Hollis, did it work?
High second round.
Did it work, Hollis?
Hell no.
So then you learn, Hollis.
And then you see still set.
Hollis,
that's a bad analogy.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's Hollis.
Wait, I love wait. This conversation.
Wait, Hollis. Hollis, why don't you just shut up for 1 second?
Yes.
Right?
Oh, man.
Yes. I'm straight up.
So you're just
I haven't choked nobody all week, Dave. But go ahead.
That job.
But Dave,
okay. All you're doing is picking out all the little things that went wrong, right?
This is what I tell. This is what I tell you. The fact that he didn't play last year, but it wasn't because of an injury. See, that's what I'm saying.
Wait. Sidney Jones played in his seat. He was hurt before his pro day. Yeah. He played the football season.
And what did they get you?
Hollis.
And what did they get
it's
you?
It's a different comparison.
Where did they get you?
It's a different. It's not even the same story. Micah Parsons didn't play last year. The entire year.
Is Sidney playing?
Playing Jacksonville, isn't he?
Is Sidney playing?
Are you guys arguing the same point?
No, he's arguing something. He's arguing apples to oranges. It's not.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, one that'll probably be a stud, but you're talking about because he set out due to COVID-19.
I'm saying that a guy who didn't play in a full season, I believe you will, as a football player, as I believe, players lose by not having OTAs. Mm. I believe that players lose by, that's why you see so many veterans who just go right down the They go right down the tubes after last year, all those veterans who went,
well, yeah, because
they didn't practice in the spring.
Well, yeah,
because guess what? You need to practice. You need to keep your fast twitch muscles going. You need to be physical all year. So am I using the 12th pick on a player who didn't play last year? That's just me. I don't know what the Eagles are going to do, but I'm saying for me, you are going to see a lot of players who were drafted who didn't play last year. This is my prediction.
Okay.
They will not make it in the NFL.
My prediction is
they will not make it in the NFL. You need to have played last year.
I understand what you're saying in that sense, but I still feel like I want that stud linebacker. And you can't tell me that with Nate Gary and that now, okay, say that they still go.
Finish your Nate Gary thing.
When they have Nate Gary and Alex Singleton and we totally stuck up the joint.
Did you catch that? That was him playing chess.
Yes. Yeah,
I was skipping ahead saying that if you're not going to at number 12, if you don't take Michael Parsons, there's another kid.
He's not going to be there.
No, there's another kid out of Tulsa.
Doesn't matter.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Zach, go.
He's a beast.
No, I have a question for Dave.
Not at 12, he's not.
I have a question for Dave, but I can do that question on the other side as we wrap up here with this segment. We'll be coming back right after this on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Green Legion Radio right after this.
I don't know. How do you think he did there?
Pretty good.
You think?
Yeah.
Just a bit awesome.
Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton, WDAS AM throughout the rest of the city, brought to you by Bud Light, and happy to have Philadelphia Eagles insider podcast host Mr. Dave Spadaro on. That's enough of that.
You just want me to fight with Hollis.
You damn right I do, all day. You guys, we'll be back right after this. 0.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton, WDAS AM through the rest of the Delaware Valley, brought to you by Bud Light. We have Dave Spadaro in studio with us right now, and we're still going at it. There's nothing better than the Let's Get Ready to Rumble segment between Hollis and Dave that seems to take place
every single time.
So, all right, Dave.
Yeah.
How about we just give you an open-ended forum here?
Let's do it.
You have four picks in the top 84.
Okay.
Where are you going with each one?
I honestly am telling you, I don't think there's any position that I'm ignoring. So I'm going to trust my board. And I think that when you get into trouble in the draft, you are pinpointing positions.
Oh, okay.
I think the Eagles are really lacking at cornerback. I think I'll always take an edge rusher if I can get one. I think I'd love another playmaker for Jalen Hurts. I think safety is really barren. I mean, I don't know who's playing safety. Anthony Harrison, who else?
I'm sorry, I don't even know who
Kayvon
that is.
Kayvon Wallace?
I don't know. What did he show you last year?
Not that much.
No one showed anything. What are you talking about? He was the greatest thing to come out of Clemson.
New system and coaches who don't have any allegiance to him. I mean, every level of the defense needs help. Every level of the offense needs help.
Is there any possibility that, okay, so I believe it's consistent. We don't, it's not the hidden agenda or trying to get some sort of secret information out. I believe we can all agree the question mark with Howie's performance as general manager is not his ability to wheel and deal, not his ability to make contracts work, not his ability to sign and find players that work within the system. It's been his success drafting players and evaluating talent coming out of college. That being said,
yeah, the draft needs to be better.
That being said, is there any possibility of him coming out of his own skin and saying, because you're right, here's the fun part. What do we have? We have 11 picks now. We had 10. I think we now 11. Have 11. 11 picks.
Yep.
All right. I don't know if I'm Howie at this point because of what you just said, which is there's not a position on this team that can't be addressed. Am I not just taking best available player at every freaking pick? And I really wanted to say that.
But in theory, that's what general managers always say they want to do.
In theory, we haven't done anywhere close to that.
And let me just say this, amid the enormous negativity, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017, went two rounds deep in the playoffs in 2018, reached the playoffs in 2019, and had a lousy year in 2020. And now all of a sudden, the perception in Philadelphia in many corners seems to be that the Eagles don't know what they're doing. I think that's really unfair and really wrong. And I will tell you that every team has the draft been successful enough? No. Is there a replenishment of talent as the roster is turned over to be determined? These next two drafts, Eagles have to kill it. Does every team go through a down cycle? Yes. The best teams come out of that down cycle very quickly. And that is the test here.
All right.
That's what I said. That's how I
appreciate what you're saying. And that is such a glass half full way of looking at it.
But the facts are the facts.
Facts are the facts. Glass half empty suggests that we got really damn lucky.
Lucky, better be lucky than good, Quimby. I don't know. There's a Lombardi trophy at the NovaCare Complex. And see, I don't care about lucky at all.
Dave, I'm not going to let you have this one. Not going to let you have this one. And I appreciate you taking me up to see that beautiful thing.
Yeah. What I'm
suggesting here is that where I will say I'd rather be lucky than good, I believe the moves made by this franchise since that Super Bowl win have not been lucid.
I think the drafts haven't been as good. I agree.
I don't even want to say the drafts. I don't even want to say the drafts. And you know why? You know why? Because, look, we mortgaged our future. All right? We wound up with four or five draft picks in a couple of years in a row.
Five, yeah.
All right? So you're not talking about a situation where you have a lot of room for error.
Was it worth it, Quimby?
Was it worth it? I will say yes.
Well, every single Eagles fan will say yes.
Excuse me. At the same time, I don't believe you have to do this in order to win a Super Bowl.
What? Based on what? With your expertise as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, they had the greatest quarterback in the history of the game.
Say again. Oh, okay.
Okay.
No, you're right.
What they did last year?
You're right. Hold on. I'm not going to be Tank. All right.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's great. No chirping from you. All right. It doesn't matter. Tank, shut up. For a hot second. All right. Do I agree with you? I do. But there's something that is substantially wrong with the path this team is taking. All right. You give up your Super Bowl MVP quarterback. Tank and I will argue anybody all day.
Oh God, are we talking about Nick Foles again?
Listen, I'm just.
Whoa! Did you just?
No! We got a lot to get through in 10 minutes. Stop! You're gonna have your floor. All right, stop. Jesus,
come on.
Nothing better than being a babysitter host. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here it is, chirping again. All right, and I know you love to support the team because that's what you do.
I'm part of the team.
I get it. There's something off. There's something completely off here, and it needs to be addressed. Positions. All right. What wins Super Bowls?
Great offensive line, great defensive line, great quarterback play.
Shut up. Two. Tank, what are they?
Running the ball.
And
stopping the run.
That's it.
Oh, Jesus.
It's 1994, perpetually.
Know, exactly.
Oh, amazing. Hold on a second. First of all, oh, yeah, I've been waiting for that one. Yeah, it's a passing league.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's great. Name one receiver you trust throwing the ball to besides Greg Ward right now.
That's not the question.
Yeah, but I don't trust anyone.
I'm not talking to you either. Back,
tight end, anyone.
So the New England Patriots, they went out.
Look. You are very good at redirection.
Tampa Bay, you are
a son of a bitch of a litigator. Okay, I get it. You're great at what you do. Yeah, put your head down because you know I'm right.
No,
all right?
Not.
Look at you. You're getting red too around the cheeks. Look
Tampa,
at him.
I'm laughing.
Look at that dome starting to light up.
How ridiculous! The Tampa Bay Buccaneers went out and got a quarterback.
They had a spectacular defense before then, and they, you know who else they
and
picked?
He threw, he threw and
you know
three who else touchdown passes
up?
In the first.
You know who else they picked up? Who is going to make them or allow them to win another Super Bowl? Say it. Leonard Fournette.
Leonard Fournette.
But give me that crap. Reason why we won that Super Bowl and had the year we did.
In Garrett Blunt.
Yes.
Boom, shakalaka.
Kansas City the year before they ran the ball, and the year before that the Rams and
all they did was run the ball.
The Eagles they ran the ball. I mean they were like number one running of
yes,
all time.
Yes, they were.
Yeah,
and running the ball. If you look at it, when you keep a team off balance and you keep your defense rested, you kick ass. When you do it the way you're doing it, we found it 60% of the time. Nobody's won like that. Name me one
all
team.
All the teams. All
name
the teams.
Name me one team that's won.
Every,
won 60
Kansas
plus
City. Kansas they City. Were throwing Tampa 60, Bay.
They were not throwing 60% of the time. Go watch it. They ran the ball to get back in that game. Go look at it. That's why that running back that they had was in the Damian. Damian was Damian Washington. He came back running the ball with him and then throwing the rock. You don't just go out there and throw the ball like that.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't. You don't get no one like that.
Andy Reid's whole formula has been to throw the ball early.
And where's it gotten him?
Where's it gotten Andy Reid?
Oh, okay, stop. He's 1-1.
He's 1-1.
He's 1-1. He's been in 3.
He's 1-1. He should have won multiple.
And he wasn't calling the plays in that one. I know he wasn't calling the plays. You want to know why? Because I know when he calls the plays, because when I was with the Saints, I called out his first 15 plays. I gave him to the defense, and we shut him down, point blank. The other guy was doing it.
What do we got?
Let's get back into the Eagles.
All right, yeah. We're not. We're going to do that at the top of the hour.
Oh, God. Sorry. Deepest apologies.
No, it's okay. I love this. It's nothing. There's nothing better than having Dave on. You are a litigator, dude.
You
are one of the best litigators I know.
No, Quimby, if somebody disagrees with you, you think they're litigating. That's
yes.
what it is. Right. So I'm not litigating.
So what's
I'm
the problem?
You, I'm giving you my perspective.
Quit disagreeing with me.
Based on
you always go back to this. I'm going to make a list because I don't have anything in front of me. And all the evidence suggests you throw the ball in the NFL today. Today, that's what you do. You throw the ball to win.
Listen,
throw the ball to win.
You can give Dave a lap dance on this break if you want.
I'm not
an hour.
Dave,
I'm fine with
he's
that.
Just right. He's right.
Wrong.
Diaz. That's right. Sorry.
Tank, I got $20 in my pocket says you won't reach over and choke his ass out right now. And Athlete Row just slid over towards Dave.
Athlete Row, bro.
There's no sliding over towards Dave.
Everybody, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton, WDAS. AM throughout the rest of the Delaware Valley. Brought to you by Bud Light. Back right after this. 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton, WDAS AM throughout the rest of the Delaware Valley. Brought to you by Bud Light. Make sure you vote for the Green Legion when the Final Four between us and...
Adam Kaplan, but it came out on Friday. So get on the site right now and start putting your votes through for us.
Are we already started?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Started on Friday.
Okay, so that means it starts today. It's okay. We all know. We taped this beforehand.
Yeah, but you don't want to give him extra stuff to do. You already saw what he did to the
board. All right. I got you.
You just saw what he did to the
I
board.
Got you. All right, so we're still talking with Philadelphia Eagles insider host Dave Spadaro. And, yeah, we'll get to your questions in just a minute, Dave.
I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about the whole offseason to this point.
Well, you know what? We're going to give you those points after we continue to hound you for information.
Okay.
And that being said, Diaz, when we were on break, you said there was something you wanted to ask him that's kind of along the lines of the something being off with the team.
Right.
Please elaborate. And yeah. Dave, you're on the hot spot once again.
Sure. Dave, and I know all teams have issues internally and all that stuff, but when something goes wrong, when you fire your Super Bowl winning coach 3 years after winning the Super Bowl and you take the largest cap hit in history to get rid of your franchise quarterback you signed a year previously, there's a lot of digging and questions and where did this thing go wrong? And we'll talk about specific reports and everything like that next week. We know that you're going to wiggle yourself out of those very well. So, but it's
he is sexy when he wiggles.
Why,
thank you.
The general thing is Quimby was saying there's something off, and the takeaway, high level takeaway is this. Remember, there's going to be this whole collaboration, and they fired Chip Kelly because he thought he was the man, and he was the man in charge, and he was the king, and he didn't have to answer to anyone. So then they bring in Doug Peterson, and it sounds like they just micromanaged him to death, where he just, it sounded like Doug was at a constant
eye roll. By the way, let me just interrupt. I'm sorry to do, though. So that Athletic report that said Doug had a Tuesday meeting every week with, guess what, Andy Reid did too, every single Tuesday. So there's no micromanagement going on. The fact is that when the team plays poorly and the owner doesn't like the direction of the team, the owner has the right to make a change.
Well, the story started off with this one thing, and Tank is going to love this. It was the day, it was the Saturday.
After the
Packers game where they scored 34 points they ran the ball for 180 yards, passed it for 160 yards. And, general attitude is, hey, why did you run so much and not pass so much? I thought we were going to be passing in the game plan and da, 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 da. And you're right. And they might have these meetings all the time, but it sounds, and I'm not there, I wasn't there, and I'm not Doug, but it sounds it was received poorly from Doug. Like, hey, we won the game here. Like, you guys are grilling me because I didn't throw the ball. We ran the ball. We switched it up. That's what
you're kind of asking articles from.
I would say this, DS. I think that it's fair. Jeffrey Lurie has the right to ask any question that he wants. Now you're taking that question and you're turning it into an adversarial portrayal.
That's what it sounded like.
So I wasn't in that meeting either. I know that was a big win for the Eagles against the Packers. Everything you could do to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field was important. And, the Eagles started off very poorly offensively until Miles Sanders had the kickoff return and then things turned on and it was great. So certainly it went south very quickly for the Eagles. Doug did not do a good job in 2020. The practices were, as we've read, they were not crisp. The game execution was very poor. And as Jeffrey did with Chip Kelly, made the decision very quickly to go in a different direction. I happen to love Doug Peterson, and I know he'll be coaching next year. I will tell you that the Eagles were an undisciplined team last season and an underperforming team last season. And unfortunately, Doug is one of the people who takes the fall for that.
Well, quick follow up though, with this, whatever right and wrong, and there's probably kernels of truth, and some things are not exactly how they happen. That's what generally happens in stories. But is there any chance that the team will do some sort of self reflection? And they're like, okay, this is what is being said out there, and we don't really agree with it, but maybe there's a little bit of sliver of truth here. We got all these secret things and all these different meetings, one-on-ones.
So I don't think that the Philadelphia Eagles are walking around right now going thumping. We're not thumping our chest saying we're great. We have all the answers.
You didn't get the sack down 34-7.
We're just going to keep operating as normal. If you do that, then this team's in for a long, long, many, many dark winters. Okay. So we'll see. I mean, I would think so. My sense from being there and the other day, the last time I was there was on Tuesday, Wednesday. And I mean, it's a very serious tone getting ready for the NFL draft. We know that we have to kill these next two drafts. We have 20 picks. We have potentially 4 number one picks in that lot.
And let's be honest on that. They're trading those away for a quarterback. We know what's happening. It's okay. Just saying. Sorry. Please.
The Eagles have to get back to the top of the NFL. And to do that with very limited cap resources because of the Carson Wentz trade and the cap hit, the only way to do that is to draft really, really well. So if, for example, they go the route that General Manager Quimby suggests and trade all these number one picks for a quarterback, eventual
running
quarterback,
back, running back, running
well,
back.
Well, then you're going to have to build around that quarterback.
Hey.
You're going to have to build around that quarterback.
Is you're fired.
Because the there's listen, the offensive line is aging, the defensive line is aging, and the only way to get good young blue chip talent on this team is to draft, and to draft better than we've drafted in the last several seasons.
For those of you that have been listening to the whole show, this is the longest radio tease in the history of radio. It's the end of the second segment when I said I wanted to get my question in, and everyone else kept on going ahead of me.
Don't worry, big.
Yeah, it's not baseball.
I'm here now. So just making my presence
known. Don't worry, big time. You have your own show.
Making my presence known.
I have my own show. I'm a big guy.
You were just. You get that right?
You have your own show? Yes.
All right.
Yeah, we'll get to that when we do Kick-Ass or Jackass, if it's going to happen, because we're all football today.
Okay.
Nonetheless. My question for you, and you kind of just expunged on this, about Doug Peterson. Your thoughts on the firing of Doug Peterson, and what are your thoughts so far? You had a couple really good experiences, interviews so far with new head coach, Nick Sirianni. What are your thoughts on both of those?
So I love Doug. Doug was – I've known him since 1999, and we're friends. And I can't really say that about any other Eagles head coaches. That said, you know, he's responsible for this football team and for his coaching staff. And I mean, there were some pieces of the coaching staff that the ownership didn't care for. And the vision that Jeffrey has was different than the one that Doug had. So as much as it made me sad, and I spoke to Doug after he left, that's the business. Never was the plug pulled too early. Well, that remains to be seen. Now, what are my thoughts on Nick? I've talked to Nick probably five times virtually, have not met him physically yet, but I really like his energy.
I agree.
I like he's a football rat. I like the coaching staff he's put around. There's a bit of Andy Reid / Dick Vermeil to this whole thing. That said, the Eagles need to upgrade the talent on the roster a lot. But I'll tell you what, I think Jonathan Gannon is a stud. I think he's a stud. So I'm encouraged by that. I think the Eagles have a chance to get back back into contention in the NFC East. Weak division, but they have to kill the draft. So I don't know if that's like, you guys are all laughing. I don't know if you're
laughing. No, I'm laughing at me or with me. I'm laughing at the drop.
No, I'm laughing at you. But,
it's like I'm looking at you answering my question.
I'm trying to keep it serious.
I keep on getting these drops in my ear.
Meanwhile, there's like a boing.
Hold on.
It's the mood for your comedy tonight.
It was back last year, 2 years ago.
So I'm really hopeful that Nick, I really like Nick. I really like Nick a lot. He's been great to work with. Philadelphia's really going to like him. I thought that when people got on his case after the opening
ridiculous.
Press conference, it was just unfair. But that's the business, and nobody cares. The one thing you care about is can he win football games, and I can't look into my crystal ball and say that.
Dave, a question about Sirianni. The roster's terrible right now.
I would say the roster's terrible. If Lane comes back healthy, Brandon Brooks comes back healthy, and you have a really good offensive
line. And Sam Brady would like to meet Nick physically.
And the whole thing changes if you have a good – go ahead. But
my question
– roster needs to be better.
Okay, yes. Roster needs to be better. So no one in town here likes losing.
All right, hold on. May I, please? Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
My question is this. As fans, to be fair and to watch some sort of progress this year and something to watch where they might not win 12 games this year, but what is something that we should be paying attention to Sirianni's coaching?
Jalen Hurts. Easy enough.
The offensive structure, how he adapts his scheme to the personnel the Eagles have. That's something that I always watch. I saw what Chip Kelly did, and Chip Kelly took the talent that Andy Reid had left and parlayed that into a really high-octane offense in 2013, and then got rid of LeSean, got rid of Deshaun. And then the offense progressively went down.
You mean LeSean McCoy?
Yeah.
The one who claims he should be in the Hall of Fame over?
He should be in the Hall of Fame. His numbers are
over Edelman?
I'm not over Edelman. I'm saying.
All right. Anyway, sorry.
LeSean McCoy.
He did win two Super Bowls, right?
LeSean McCoy should be in, I think will be in the Hall of Fame.
Two, right?
Just two.
Just two. Just two. Just and ran the ball twice in each game?
I don't think he ran a ball at all. The one he was in street clothes in last year, his jersey was as white as me without my shirt on.
All right, you guys, because this is the one thing that we haven't gotten to, and I want to get to it before we even delve into some of these other topics.
Okay.
The draft. We haven't discussed the draft. We've been flirting with it. Dave, where do you want to see this team go with the 12th pick, and does it bother you? I've been wanting to ask you this question because it's been eating at me. It's been eating at all of us. You trade from six. Okay, I get it. You move down six spots and you pick up another first round next year from Miami, who's not going to be good again. And you know why? Because it's Miami. They're just not good.
Luis.
Bad ownership, bad coaching, bad personnel, bad team, bad record.
They got a good coach.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The ownership sucks. All right. Know that for fact. Dealt with them three times. Three times too many. My question is, A, first, where do you think they go with the 12th pick? And does it bother you that after moving from 6 to 12, it's not just moving 6 to 12. It's moving 6 to behind the Cowboys and behind the Giants.
Nah, but I will say this. I thought that was a great trade. G-R-E-A-T, capital, exclamation point, exclamation trade. To move down six spots. Get a better pick this year, fifth round pick to a fourth round pick, and to get a first round pick for next year from a Miami team that has a quarterback that may not be good. So I like that trade a lot.
Sorry, real fast. Don't give a damn whether or not you like to trade.
The solution.
What I want to know is where you're going at 12, what position, and
again,
you're not pissed off about being behind. So where are you going with 12?
Well, I have to see how things play out. But I believe that the largest hole on this roster is cornerback.
Tank, what do you think?
Really tough situation.
I think it's a linebacker. But
they're not taking a linebacker.
They're not taking a linebacker at 12. Right. We know that.
Right.
All right. So outside of that, do you agree with Dave?
Corner. I would
go corner in the first.
Yeah, because you'll get yourself a blue chipper. And it was an interesting question I had for Dave like a while back. It was a lot of the media outlets are laughing at our front office. And when the mock drafts are coming up, they're saying, let's see, how are the Eagles going to mess this up if both of the wide receivers from Alabama are still on the board? What do you do then?
I don't take wide receivers. I do not like taking wide receivers in the first round.
The two Alabama receivers.
I don't give a crap.
I think the Giants are going to take DeVonta Smith.
They would be stupid.
Name the last top 10 receiver who won a Super Bowl. Name one.
Godwin?
Mike Evans? Mike Evans was 13.
Indirectly? I don't know.
You know what I mean? My point is.
This is you spinning. Stop.
No, it's not. It's me saying that wide receivers are
a luxury.
They are you can get a great wide receiver later
hold
in the draft.
The phone.
Then you
no.
can
hold on.
Then
shut
you
up.
Can, then you can a great.
You're
quarterback
the same
later in the draft.
Guy that says the entire league is passing right now.
Yes, and it's
but I don't need to go get a high profile receiver.
You're
they're
twisting.
A luxury.
You're twisting. You're twisting.
Quimby, there's no, it's
he's
never.
He's twisting all the time.
No, it's not. No, Quimby.
Both of you guys are twisting.
You can get a good wide receiver. You don't need to waste this, such a high asset. You build through the lines and you can get three wide receivers in rounds.
Are you aware that?
Aware that Diaz brought his knee pads today?
Dear Lord,
Are you aware the rules of the NFL are that you can't touch a wide receiver beyond 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, right? You know that, right? Do you know how easy it is to be a good wide receiver in the league?
He's in 1994.
Do you know how easy it is to be a great receiver in the league? Everybody catches 80 passes. Everybody's catching.
Yo, look, I will shut this down right now.
Oh! Oh!
And I said that on purpose.
Quimby's mad because he's been twisting himself since he met the Olympic paddleboarder last week.
God.
It's been a long week.
But you guys.
He joined the Mile High Club by himself.
Hold on, but you guys are.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
There's a lot of time up there.
Yes. It's just frowned upon. Remember, it's only frowned upon. It's not illegal. It's only frowned upon. So you guys have been twisting things in your favor the entire time.
What am I supposed to do? Twist it in your favor?
No, you,
I'm, I'll give you my, my
yeah, opinion. You're supposed to have a backbone and quit being a jellyfish.
Wait a minute. What, because I want, because I say cornerback is a bigger need than.
No. Hold on. Let's go back.
Did you miss the part where I said that Eagles back, needs help at every single position?
Let's go back to that. Okay.
You're not going to draft one guy at 12 who's going to fix everything.
Let's go back to that real quick. So you say cornerback with the 12th pick or the first pick.
Whatever, whatever's there. I don't know what's going to be there.
Okay. Where do you go next? What is, Dave, just for a second. I don't want you to say we need to fill every position on this team.
Here's
you,
a better way of asking.
You personally.
Here's a better
you
way.
You personally,
asking.
Please. Here's I'm a asking better way of asking. You personally.
I'm going to ask a question.
No, I'm going to fight this one until you wear down. All right. I get it. Quarterback first. Where do you go second, third? What are your you level? What is your level of importance?
Right. Thank you. My level of my biggest needs on the team in order are cornerback. I would say, safety, linebacker, really neck and neck. I would say wide receivers a need. I would say,
would you go cornerback, safety/linebacker, and then receiver?
I'm asking
for an order here. We have four picks in the top 84. Where would you go position wise in those first four picks? That's what I'm asking.
Okay, assuming that there's great players at every position.
I would go
cornerback. Okay. I would go defensive end.
Really?
I would go safety. I'd go linebacker, and then I'd go wide receiver after that.
First four picks within defense, the first 84, I mean, you go cornerback, safety. Oh, no, yeah. You go cornerback, edge rush.
No, cornerback, safety, edge rush, linebacker, somewhere in there.
Interesting.
Okay. I think the defense needs help at all three levels. Do the Eagles need a wide receiver? Sure. Absolutely.
I wanted to see what your hierarchy of needs
But I also know that the Eagles drafted three wide receivers last year. You don't just give up on Quez Watkins and John Hightower.
We don't want to. But there's a great question right now. All right. Why does it seem as though the team gave up on Hightower?
Because he was a rookie last year who dropped wide open passes. They didn't give up on him. He got some reps. He didn't, but Quez came on and earned reps. And then to me, this is why that when players aren't reporting in the off season for these workouts, I don't know how much Quez Watkins has worked in the off season. I don't like to answer the question of where would you go? Because when you draft for a position, then you kill yourself.
Well, I'm sorry. Maybe I just asked the question improperly. What is your hierarchy of needs?
My needs are A to Z. I'll take a great offensive lineman. I'll take a great linebacker. I'll take a great anything. Give me great players.
I have a better way to ask the question. If you at each pick, if you had your choice at those picks,
he just gave it.
Yeah, I just gave him. Okay. It would be mostly defensive oriented.
Okay.
Because I think the defense has so many holes.
All right.
Other than Fletcher and Hargrave and Brandon Graham who's got to bounce back after a.
How do you feel about Barnett?
I think he's a hardworking effort guy.
All right, enough about that. What do you think about his actual performance?
I think he's been okay.
Nothing more.
Have
they exercised his option?
Yeah.
They did.
I believe they did, yeah.
I don't think they did yet.
They had to have already because
he we're all ready to see Josh Sweat step up.
Yeah, but again, he was hurt too last year.
He was hurt too, but he had half the snaps that Barnett had. And twice the performance, just so we know. Everybody, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton, WDASAM throughout the rest of the Delaware Valley. Brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. We have two more segments after this. All right, coming back, let's talk Phillies for a hot minute.
Flyers?
Maybe that too. I don't know. We'll see.
Can we just keep pushing that
Home
off
Depot. As everybody Maybe tunes Bed out. Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time, but we'll be back right after that. Radio Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton, WDASAM throughout the rest of the Delaware Valley. Brought to you by Bud Light. Time for a little Phillies.
Speaking of Bud Light. Bud Light Baseball Brunch.
Attaboy. He can't get enough.
Coming up on Sunday from 11 to noon with yours truly and Greg Murphy. Make sure you guys come on down to Sports and Social down at the brand new Philly Live Casino. We've had a couple great shows down there. Awesome crowd out last week, right, Slash? Yep. Yeah, we've been having a good time.
Slash hasn't said a word yet today.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm letting the the big boys talk over there.
Now you talk.
I'm sorry. I still have
to say it with your chest, Slash. Say it with your chest.
Let the big boys talk over there. Whoa!
There we go. Sorry.
Nice. A little rusty on the way back, right?
Yeah. Well, we're getting there.
Nah, but we've had some great shows down there. We gave away tickets courtesy of Quimby the first couple weeks.
Courtesy of the Green Legion.
Yeah. And then I bought a couple tickets last week, which we gave away for this upcoming Monday against the Giants. I'm going to buy a couple more to give away this upcoming Sunday as well.
No, you're not. I will.
No, don't worry about it. I got money, too. You're not the only one with deep pockets.
No. Quimby's money. We spend Quimby's money.
Okay, that's because you're his work wife.
Oh God, no!
I will shut this show down right now.
Oh God, no!
Whatever do you mean?
But we also coming up this weekend. Diaz is going to promote it. We have a new logo for the show, which I showed.
It is sexy. It almost looks like a U-porn logo.
It's like silhouette. It looks great. But it is courtesy of BoxedSourcing.com. Megan did a phenomenal job. She's based out of Philadelphia, right over off
Thank
of
Martha you, Megan.
Street. If you want to reach out to her, you can. Again, BoxedSourcing.com or the phone number 215-839-6121. Fantastic job. Thank you again.
Sam Brady says, technically, I'm there too.
Sam is there.
Who?
Actually, we do need
Sam Brady.
We need some female presence down there at the show for baseball brunch.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you're allowed to speak.
Aren't you married?
Did you ask Rachel for permission to say that?
Rachel already knows. She's. But hey, why don't we touch a little bit on the Phillies? If you really want my take about what's been transpiring over the last week, again, tune in on Sunday for the full amount. But we're also going to jump into a little bit here with Kick-Ass or Jackass once Quimby comes back into the room. Polarizing Phillies. So guys, start thinking about that as well. This past week has not been friendly to the Phillies. They got a little lucky on Sunday night, courtesy of Instant Replay with Alec Bohm. Did he or did he not touch home plate? I am of the mindset. Did the run count? Yes, it did.
Did not touch. Hey, listen.
Major League Baseball and the replay review officials. And I know me and Merv, we went in the last week a little bit on replay. We talked about it because we expunged about the Michael Conforto getting hit by the pitch
right in
the Mets home opener walk-off and how that was a disgrace. Well, I have a different mindset this week. That was phenomenal. Great job. There was no conclusive evidence that he did not touch the plate, so we'll move on from that. But two rainouts so far this week, guys, and then the rest of the week, the Phillies 2 out of 3 games against the Mets. Now they got swept in that, if you want to say it's a 3-game series because they didn't play all 4, so they did get swept. But 2 out of those 3 games, they struck out 14 times. The offense has been pathetic, and really, you didn't face DeGrom. You got lucky on Thursday that the rain came. And it canceled DeGrom. Diaz, you have something?
Well, I got a question. Zach, you have been telling me that now that we got Captain Coconut Oil out of here,
okay,
that the coaching of the Phillies was going to play to the players' strengths. Why are they striking out 14? Are they concerned about launch angle and spin rate and all that stuff here?
I would have thought that we would have gotten out of that, especially with Rhys Hoskins. Rhys was hitting the ball well. If you look at their at-bats right now, the one day where they struck out was the first game of the doubleheader. You know, and then we wound up playing 8 innings, you know, because with the doubleheaders this year as compared to last year, it's 7 innings apiece. So they struck out 14 times in that first game. The shadows were terrible, right around home plate.
Here comes the apologies.
It was bad. The one that bothers me is the fact that you destroyed David Peterson last week in the third game to win the series against the Mets. And then the guy comes out there and he's pitching like Randy Johnson. I posted on my Facebook page. I'm like, is Randy Johnson pitching for the Mets tonight? Because like at one point I'm looking up, I'm like, how the hell does this guy have 10 strikeouts already in this game? To me, they're pool happy right now. Rhys Hoskins, the first week of the season, he was successful because he was playing to the opposite field. He was hitting the ball to right field, to the gaps. You got to hit the ball where they're pitching you. If they're pitching you away, you have to hit the ball the other way. If they're hitting you in, then you can pull it. But if you can't pull a ball that's on the outside half of the plate, especially if you're a step or two off the plate. What do you got, Hollis?
You think Velasquez is a jinx?
Do I think he's a jinx? I think he needs to go.
Because I say that specifically because since he entered the game the one time and we lost, we haven't really recovered from that.
Yeah, listen, me and Murph, we talked about Vince Velasquez last week. The problem with Velasquez has been and always will be from the neck up. Okay, he just
He just does not have it mentally. The guy can come out there and he
needs a nose job.
He mows down the side, okay, in his first inning. He did 1-2-3, strikes out the side, and then he comes out and he walks 4 out of 5 batters. And that's what really killed that game. I mean, the Phillies at that point later in the game, their offense they got going. To where they gave themselves opportunities to where they could come back in the game, but because of Velasquez, they didn't have the opportunity. But this has been a rough week. Luckily, this is the first time, guys, since September of 2019 that the Phillies are playing a team not in the National League East or the American League East. Right? Like, it's insane. Cause remember last year, all you did was play American League East and National League East. And the first 2 weeks here, all they played is the Braves and the Mets. So we get a little bit of a reprieve here now with the Cardinals coming to town. I hate saying that cause they have around the same record as us. This is your hometown team, Hollis.
Yeah, but I like the Phillies.
I know you do. I know you do.
Your brother, though.
That's Nolan Arenado.
My brother, you saw him roll up in here with his Cardinals t-shirt. He will never turn.
It's all good. It's fine. But yeah, they are coming. They are coming into town this weekend. So let's see what we can do.
Maybe it's time for a little KA or JA.
I did tease it when you walked out of the room. I was waiting for you to come back.
I was waiting for you to come back.
So
all right, hold on. Did I do it?
Wait.
It's time for a little kick us or jackass.
Someday we're gonna use your sounders.
Yeah. We agreed last week.
No, you know what? We actually have sound effects here that I don't know how to use.
Don't start using them.
It's time for a little. It's time for me to shut up.
we agreed last week that this week's kick-ass or jackass will be top 10 world paddleboarders. So that we're going to go with the paddleboarders, our favorite paddleboarders.
Or paddleboarding podcast.
Valeria Salustri, we love you wherever you are.
Gosh. So my topic for this week, Quimby asked me to do it a half hour before we went on. And he said, hey.
I always do it a half hour before we go.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to hear it.
So he's like, you know, you pick. And I said, Phillies. But, you know, really in reality, listen, I could go Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins. If all of us don't say kick ass, you're the jackass in reality. So I decided to go with polarizing Phillies because I want to see where everybody is at on this topic. Dave, would you like to partake?
I'd like to partake, well? Please. Yes.
Awesome.
It's Phillies. You can get away with it.
Great. So what we'll do is we'll work our way around the room. I'm going to start with Slash. Kurt Schilling.
Oh, boy.
Take the political views out of it.
I'll go kick ass then. He was a good pitcher.
Who? I don't know.
What did you say? I wouldn't pay
attention. Kurt Schilling.
How can you not say a kick ass?
I don't like what he turned into. I go kick ass, I guess. You said take political out.
Politically, yeah.
I take political out and the kid thing, kick ass.
I'm going to say jackass. I don't forgive him for putting a towel over his head in 93
series.
Yeah. I go kick ass.
Now, Ed Wade once said this about Kurt Schilling. He is a horse one day out of the week and a horse's ass the other 4 days out of the week. But I love Kurt Schilling. He had a phenomenal career here, but he did force his way up, and I'll go kick ass as well.
All right.
Scott Rowland.
Oh, boy. I think I had a Scott Rowland poster in my room, so I guess I can't contradict myself.
Is it crusty?
Here we go. I'll still go kick ass.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. These are just sound effects. I don't know what you guys are worried about.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. It's an interesting and longer story than it needs to be. I used to run golf expos. All right. Imagine.
Bluebell Country Club?
The dignified crowd and Quimby's running the expo?
No. Golf and travel expos. That's what I did for, we did one up in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton for a long time with Nevada Bobs up there. And we used to use the Kingston Armory where Andy, pitcher for the Phillies.
Andy Ashby.
Andy Ashby used to practice.
Remember he flipped off the fans when he was in the field?
Yeah. But while we were setting up for this show, this is always in February. He was always in there pitching. Now, I'll tell you this, and it's a very strange thing to say. After being on the concrete of the Kingston Armory for 4 days straight, setting up, and you're in sneakers, you know, the best posturpedic footwear you can have. All right.
Skechers.
After 4 days, I cramped up. I couldn't walk. I could not move. So if that was what Scott Rowland
was going through.
With his back on that AstroTurf?
That wasn't even his back. It would be his legs, his back, everything as it just shivers up. First of all, we are all armchair quarterbacks when we talk about veteran stadium's field. If that thing was as garbage as everybody says it was.
It was god awful.
All right.
Trust me.
I don't know how you could do it. No. And if Scott Rowland's biggest beef with Philadelphia was get me off that field. I actually have to agree with him. No. And I say kick ass because when he left and he started playing on grass on a regular basis, became a lot better.
Well, that wasn't grass. He was playing at Busch Stadium, which was also AstroTurf. He wanted to get out of town. But there was something different.
Yeah, it was. I could tell you.
Okay, all right.
It's quick.
Well, you're up next. I say Scott Rowland kick ass.
I'm going to say jackass, but only because of the way he left. But the part about the turf, he was correct because my esteemed colleague Lito Shepherd was telling me about. He only played 14 snaps, and he hurt himself on Veterans Stadium turf. And so he was like, Eddie, when you look at it, oh, go ahead.
Ready for this? One of my closest friends in the world from my Vegas days, Michael Mays, is from Denver. And I went out to visit him, and we were watching a Cardinals-Rockies game with Scott Rowland, and we were behind home plate. And at the time, I was ripping Scott Rowland. And at Coors Field, there was not a lot going on for quite some time. All right, nobody there. You could hear me, and I'm screaming, Scott Rowland, I'm from Philly. Why'd you leave? What's wrong with you? Every time he was up, and the second time he went up, he went yard and went yard.
I hope he gave you
hard.
An eye.
He absolutely gave me an eye. I don't know if he was, you know, he kind of knew where it was coming from, but he just went like this. Boom.
Nice.
And ran the bases. So
anyway. I'm going to say kick ass. He did force his way out of town, as did Schilling. The Phillies were just
horrible.
Terrible. And, you know, we do this thing where we rage against the front office. And then when a player wants to get out of town, we're like, he's not Philly. He should be.
He wasn't a Philly guy.
He never wanted to be here. It's like, yeah, because Jesus. He stunk. And it was going to the vet was just to drink beers. It was terrible. It was terrible. So I'm saying kick ass.
The only thing that I say is when a player leaves here and he talks trash about the town and the city, you probably sucked anyway. And you don't put another town down because you never know when you have to go back there. You don't burn the bridge like Dave Spadaro does.
Hollis.
I'm only teasing Dave.
I'm going to go. Jackass only, and I like the term jackass only because I thought Scott Rowland was going to be like a Hall of Fame player.
Right.
He's fringe. And he's on the border.
Yeah, just not with the Phillies, he wasn't.
See, I love Scott Rowland as a player because, you know, like after the 93 team, there wasn't much to go off of.
Yeah.
And then he was like the first line of hope.
Yeah.
And right. Then, you know, I still have nightmares of the fact that I didn't grow up after that with the lineup of Scott Rowland at third, Jimmy Rollins at shortstop, Chase Utley at second, and Ryan Howard at first. I mean, that would have been phenomenal. But I'll tell you what makes this man kick ass?
Eric Diff. Did the vet even have turf? It looked like a piece of pool felt on top of concrete.
That's actually what it was. That's exactly what it was. I was about to say
it was. You remember the game we canceled?
Yeah.
I was a player rep there. I was a player rep at the time, and I came out. Brian Billick brought us out. He was like, "You actually expect us to play on this?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Well, I just got paid, so I don't care."
I was sideline reporter for that preseason game. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
How did you dance out of that one?
It was an embarrassment. It was the city's fault.
What made Scott Rowland, though, his first game back as a Cardinal was Harry Callis Day, because he just went into the Hall of Fame. And he went out there, he came out of the dugout, and he opened up the door and gave Harry Callis a hug before he took his victory lap around the field. That, to me, is the ultimate kick-ass in respect.
No, keep going. We've got less than 2 minutes.
We got less than 2 minutes right now?
Yeah,
Let's go quick. All right. Lenny Dykstra. Oh my God, jackass.
Kickass.
Oh my God.
Kickass. I love Lenny.
Jackass. I'm going to go jackass. Me and him had a Twitter war.
Listen, there's nothing better than a little financial crime.
A guy that brags about staying out of jail for consecutive months is a jackass.
Hunter Pence.
I loved Hunter Pence. Kickass.
Jackass. Put your socks down.
Jackass.
Kickass.
Old school.
Jackass. That dude was not a leader when Howard and Utley went down, and I'm happy as hell he got traded. Billy Wagner.
I like Phillies, Billy. So kick ass.
I like left-handed 101 regardless. Kick ass.
I like Billy because he showed me where that blue box was and had all the porn in it.
I'm saying jackass. He left here and went to the Mets, the LOL Mets.
I'll go jackass.
I'm going to go jackass as well. One pass swing, Pat Burrell, right? Bobby Abreu.
Jackass. He was so overrated and couldn't do anything in crunch time.
Bobby Abreu would have been a fantastic and better player if they put anybody else around him. Kick ass on Bobby Abreu.
I'm going to say jackass. He didn't do anything in St. Louis either.
Kick ass. Underappreciated.
Jackass overvalued.
Kick ass. Allergic to the wall, but an on-base machine.
Hold on. Allergic to the wall, though? Come on.
He did win a gold glove, though. How the hell that happened?
I know, right?
Jason Worth. Jackass. Sorry.
Jason Worth, kick ass. Phillies wouldn't pay him $143 million. That's what you get.
And we were able to bring back Cliff Lee because of it.
Exactly.
That's a kick ass. I like Jason.
Kick ass. He was great. Still love him.
Kick ass.
Love J-Dub. And the last one. We all can agree on this one. Jonathan Papelbon.
Oh, God.
Jackass.
Kick ass. Absolute kick ass. He tried to punch Bryce Harper in the...
He strangled him in the dugout with the Nationals.
Jonathan Papelbon, idiot, but Jonathan Papelbon, kick ass.
Jackass, because when the dials turned up...
Jackass.
Yeah, he didn't back it up. He talked it, didn't walk it.
Yeah, he crotch grabbed the fans here in Philadelphia. He's a jackass. Now, should I ask these same polarizing Phillies questions to Murph on Sunday?
Yes.
Yes. Let's see who dances better, Murph or Spatter over here.
Woo! All right, we're in.
Dave, you see how he turned on you?
At the drop of a dime.
Sure.
Everybody, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports Together, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton. WDASAM throughout the rest of the city. We have one more segment before we're out of here. We'll be back, sponsored by Bud Light, right after this. Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton, WDASAM throughout the rest of the Delaware Valley, brought to you by Bud Light. We are on our last segment, and it's going to be a bit shortened. What do we have to talk about? Let's talk about the Eagles' schedule real quick. How about that?
All right. Fantastic. Keep away from the Flyers.
The over under for 17 games?
No,
six and a half.
Let's just talk about
this. I think it was seven, wasn't it?
Well, what is your thought about adding the extra game, Dave?
I'm all for it, man. I don't think you'll see many players playing 17 games, but I'm all for it.
Okay. Anyway, all of you shut the hell up. So, Eagles have the easiest schedule in the NFL this upcoming season, based on last year's results.
Take the over.
All right. Cowboys twice, record 6-10. Giants twice, record 6-10. The Washington Sentinels twice, 6-10.
Clifford
Franklin. Only one coming down with it.
And Gruff Baby.
Saints 12-4. Bucks 11-5. Chargers 7-9. 49ers, 6-10. Nate Sudfeld, congratulations for your signing. Falcons, 4-12. Panthers, 5-11. Raiders, 8-8. Broncos, 5-11. Lions, 5-11. Shocker. Jets, 2-14. Shocker. There's only three teams on there with what is considered winning records, and one of those is 500.
Did you forget the Chiefs?
We don't play the Chiefs.
Yep.
We play the West. We play the Chiefs.
We don't play the Chiefs.
The Chiefs come
Chiefs
here.
Chiefs come here.
Are you doing this on purpose? We play everybody else.
We go to Denver.
We play everybody else.
We go to Vegas and Denver.
We go to Denver and...
Vegas. And then L.A. and... Casey,
I'm not sure that,
did Hollis edit this?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that you're accurate on this Chiefs thing.
Do we play AFC West?
We play
West?
The whole AFC West.
You don't always play.
Yes, we do. Always.
Yeah. This has 16
All right,
games.
Cowboys twice, two games. Giants twice, two games. Washington, six. Saints, Bucks, that's eight.
Extra week this year.
Chargers are part of the AFC West.
That's right.
Am I accurate?
That's yes. Nine.
That's nine.
All right. 49ers,
10.
Falcons, Panthers, 12. Raiders, 13. Broncos,
14.
Lions 15, Jets 16, Chiefs 17.
I'm not sure about that.
Oh my God. It's like, it's almost like he hasn't been running the Green Legion for 19 years.
So much for this segment.
17th.
I'll tell you this, Quimby.
Hold on, because we played the
Chargers.
Shut up. The Chargers and Raiders at home.
No, we played the Raiders.
Sorry, Chargers and Raiders. Raiders is there. Chargers and
Chiefs at home. In 17, we went to Kansas City.
How did I miss that?
And we went to the Chargers in 17. Every 4 years. You know this.
All right, you guys talk.
Well, this is the thing. You know, Quimby's talking about the schedule being the easiest. Certain sports books.
Oh, you're right. I missed that.
Sports books released their over under. The Eagles have the second worst over under on wins. It's 6.5 wins. Only one team, the Houston Texans, have a lower win at 6.5. The Eagles are tied with the Bengals and Jets as the team.
By the way, any of you are free to do the run sheet any week.
You didn't need to print that down. We know that we play the Chiefs at home. We know that. So
yeah, I think they went 14-2
I'm
last
going
year.
Home.
So the Eagles are not.
Oh, so three teams winning records.
Got it. 6.5 wins in a 17, adding another game. That's not looking all that great.
You guys have fun finishing the show.
Here's my message to the Eagles fans. Okay, it's going to take a couple of drafts. The Eagles have to do really well in these drafts. It's not going to happen overnight. This is a team that, you know, has turned the roster over and continues to turn the roster over. And so, you know, let's hope for a really good draft in a month here, two weeks, buddy. Yeah. And then follow it up in 2022 with a great draft with potentially three picks in the first round.
Well, I know me and Dave were talking about this earlier when we weren't on air. And I said that the two biggest things for me coming into the season is to find out whether Jalen Hurts can be a quarterback in this league and can Nick Sirianni coach. Right. If you find out on the positive end of both of those things, next year you have cap space. Next year you have potentially three first round draft picks. So at that point, you don't have to worry about signing another quarterback, drafting a quarterback. You can take those first round picks and you can make them what you want to fill in the rest of the holes on your team, which sets you up to return to relevancy in 2022. If this team can go 7-10, feels weird saying that,
yeah.
You know, or 8-9 or something like that on that scale, Tank, before I kick it over to you, and you find out that your head coach is not a complete doofus that people wanted to try and spin him as after his press conference, and that Jalen Hurts proves to the organization that, hell, I can be a franchise quarterback. This team is set up for future success. What do you got, Ty?
What I was going to say is I like the way that they're making things up, because if we hit on the draft, the guys that they brought in here that are supposed to help us out, they're playing on one-year contracts, play-in type contracts. So you're going to get the best out of them. And if everything goes the way I think it is, I think they'll surprise a lot of people, put it that way.
I mean, to me, you've got to get some stability. Got to get some stability back in
the
football team. Major. I mean, nobody really could see. I mean, think about a year ago that if you were to fast forward 12 months, that you'd have we all thought Carson was, after his really strong end of 2019, was on the path for a great 2020. And that Doug did a masterful job of guiding an injury plagued team down the stretch to win the NFC East. And to see it be where it is now after 12 months. So just get it back to stability and build the young talent. And let's get back to, you know, this football team being stable. I don't like change. You know, the Eagles certainly won the Super Bowl under Doug, but under Andy Reid, all of that success, there was stability. And that's what this franchise needs.
Andy Reid?
The franchise needs stability. They need to draft well. It ain't going to come through free agency. It's going to come through the draft.
You better bring a ham sandwich to those negotiations. That's the only way you're getting them back here.
Yeah. So, anybody else have anything they want to get off their chest?
Anything else, Hollis?
I'm just happy as hell we didn't get to the Flyers bashing again this week.
I'm just happy as hell you put on your mask and you're ready to go already.
I got tickets. Hey, Friday night, my first time back in the ballpark.
Everybody, the now famous Chris Sack will be at the ballpark tonight.
Big time.
Section 235.
He might get emotional walking in the gates.
Obviously, he's not big time enough to have a one at the front of his section ticket.
Sign autographs?
Listen, I think that's hilarious if anybody ever asked me for my autograph.
But it may happen.
No, if they want to take a picture with me and Murph, but if you want to just take a picture with me, you're an idiot.
Everybody, remember, tomorrow from 11 to 12, Greg Murphy and Chris Sack with Bud Light Baseball Brunch down at Philly Live Casino. The rest of us idiots will start our regular podcast again. But Hollis and I, Monday, get tanked. Tuesday, ice to shorts, winter sports. Wednesday, you guys can all go to hell. Thursday, we'll be back to a normal schedule, recording our Green Legion radio, and then back again for baseball brunch. You guys, appreciate everybody being here. Dave Spadaro, Philadelphia Eagles insider, podcast host. Really appreciate
it. It was great to take a beating today. Thank you so much for
inviting me. You're welcome.
All right, everybody.
Still love you, Hollis.
Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler, 102.5 FM, Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton, WDAS AM throughout the rest of the Delaware Valley, brought to you by Bud Light. We will see you next week.